Shiloh, their expectation shall be met. He said in Proverbs 10:28 that the expectation of the righteous, it shall be fulfilled. We've been hearing from Apostle from the middle of last year how we are being prepared to get an expectation for this time. And here we are. This is the Shiloh. This is it. It has come now. Let us start praying to God, giving thanks, and also asking that the expectation of each and every one of us, it shall be met and be surpassed during this meeting, starting from today. Our God and our Father, we thank you, O Lord God Father, because you have prepared us. You have spoken to us in words, in signs, in languages. Lord God Father, in dreams, you have spoken to us about this time, about what you're going to do. We thank you, O Lord God Father, because we have planned and we have proposed, and you give us safety. Hallelujah. Be unto you, Lord God Father. Some people, they plan for today, but they have not been able to be alive even to carry out the plan. Lord, we thank you, because we planned towards this anniversary, and you have given us the opportunity to be able to have it, O Lord God Father. We thank you for the safety you have given to our brethren that have traveled from far and wide. We thank you, Ancient of Days, for we that we are at home, O Lord God Father, for all the plans that we have put in place towards this anniversary, with an expectation that you are coming here to meet with us. We thank you, Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. Be unto you, O Lord our God. We exalt your name. We give you glory. We give you all honor and adoration, because, O Lord God Father, of a truth, O Lord God Father, you have not spoken, your word said, you have not spoken in secret to Jacob that they should serve you in vain. Lord God Father, you have declared openly, Lord God Father, what you propose to do in this anniversary. So our hearts are full with expectation. So we thank you, O Lord God Father. We thank you because your angels, O Lord God Father, they tabernacle over us today. Your angels, O Lord God Father, they are already here to minister with us, O Lord God Father, and to minister unto us, to worship you, O Lord God Father, under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Ancient of Days, we thank you. We thank you, O Lord God Father. We look unto you, O Lord God Father, for manifestation, O Lord God Father, of your glory. We look unto you, O Lord God Father, for the demonstration of that which you have proposed to you, O Lord God Father.
Yes, keep lifting him up, keep lifting him up, keep lifting him up, keep lifting him up. Lift him up this morning, exalt him this morning, magnify him this morning, give him glory and praise, give him glory and praise. Magnify the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days, because he is here already. He is here with you already. Lift him up this morning, exalt him this morning, glorify him this morning. In Jesus' name, we will continue in that atmosphere of celebration. And I'd like to welcome you to this very wonderful, joyous assembly. This glorious assembly. It's our Thanksgiving Day, and it's also the kickstart of a momentous celebration of the 34th anniversary. Give glory to God. Hebrews 12 verse 22 said, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God and heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in what? In joyous assembly. Wow! It's a joyous assembly today. So I like your spirit to begin to bubble within you this morning in the name of Jesus. He said to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. That is the reason why you should rejoice this morning. That is the reason why your spirit should live for joy this morning in the name of Jesus. He said, you have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speak better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus is going to speak for you this morning. In the name of Jesus. I'd like you to turn it into a prayer this morning. Let the blood speak for me this morning. In the name of Jesus. Let the blood of the Lamb, let it speak for me this morning. In the name of Jesus. You know what? What the blood will speak this morning? The blood will speak victory for you. In the name of Jesus. Your joy will know no end. In the name of Jesus. Today, your joy will, every boundary is broken. In the name of Jesus. Every limitation is destroyed. In the name of Jesus. Your heart is leaping for joy. In the name of Jesus. Begin to declare. Let the blood speak for me. Let the blood of Jesus, let it speak for me this morning. In the name of Jesus. Breaking every barrier. Breaking every limitation. In the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus speak better things. He speak glory. Speak glory this morning. Let the glory of God tabernacle over this assembly. Let the glory of God tabernacle over this assembly. Let the power of the Lord tabernacle this morning. I'd like you to just wave. Wave to the King of Kings. Wave to the Lord of Lords.
Father, we thank you for your glory upon this house today, O God. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for your glory upon this house in this week, O God. You are the eternal King of glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Still in the attitude of prayers, I want us to look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Praise the Lord. We want to pray that from today we know God, you know, in a special way. We know God much more than we thought we have known him. Just like the woman of Samaria knew Jesus Christ. And she went to the city to tell the people that, look, I met a man that told me everything about my life. Saul, on his way to Damascus, met with Jesus Christ. I want us to begin to pray right now. The Lord, open my eyes, O God. From today, every day of this week, let's pray for divine encounter. That is what it means that I may know him. Let's begin to pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you, O Lord, because the Bible says that I may know him. Father, we want to know you. That is why we are gathered here, O God. We want to know you, O God. Much more than we have known you, O God Almighty, in the past. We want to know you, O God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We pray for divine encounter, O God, for as many as we will enter into this auditorium right from today, O God. We want to know you, O God. Give everyone, O God, just as you met Saul on his way to Damascus, O God. Lord, he had a divine encounter with you. We pray, Lord, that every individual, O God, we have a divine encounter with you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that we may know you as an individual in the name of Jesus. Heavenly King of Glory, just as the woman of Samaria, O God Almighty, met with Jesus Christ on the way, by the well, and she went to the city and said, I met a man that told me everything about my life. Lord, we pray for divine encounter. We pray for divine encounter that we change our Christianity, Lord God Almighty, from theory unto practical in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, Abraham had a divine encounter with you, O Lord. Lord God Almighty, and he saw you as the great provider. We pray thee, O Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord that is enthroned in heaven. Lord God Almighty, we pray, everyone that we enter into this place, O God, that we experience divine encounter with you, that we transform our lives, O God, that we transform everything about us, O God. Father, we pray, O God, for the power of resurrection. Let the power of resurrection, let it be made manifest in our lives, O God, in all that we do, O God. The power that rose Jesus from the dead, in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, let it be released, O God, upon this auditorium, upon every life, into this place, O God, in the name of Jesus. Power of resurrection, O God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, that our lives, O God, will not remain the same, O God. Our life will be transformed with the power of resurrection, in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, that all that we lack, O God, Lord God Almighty, the Bible says, O God Almighty, that we are blessed with in heavenly realm, with all spiritual blessings. Lord God Almighty, the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm, O God. God, by the power of resurrection, release upon us, O God, even from today, O God, even throughout this week, O God, that we will manifest you, O God, that we will be called, O God Almighty, the sons and daughters of God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Hallelujah. Amen. We want to thank God for 34 years of God's faithfulness. The Lord has been good to us. I read to you from this scripture. I say, give praise to the Lord and proclaim his name. Make known among the nation what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength and seek his face. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgment he pronounced. You, his servant, the descendant of Israel, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob, he is the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I say hallelujah. Amen. 34 years of God's faithfulness. The Lord has done transformation. You're going to thank God. A heart of thanks begins from today. And with a heart that is full of thanks. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 50, verse 23, it says, whosoever offer thanks offerings unto me, he prepares the way. As you start to give thanks to God today, you are preparing the way for the next 7 days, the outstretched arm of God upon your life, upon your children, upon your family, that you will see the divine manifestation as you have never seen before. You will see heaven open in these 7 days. As you lift up your hand, lift up your voice. I say lift up your voice and thank God. Thank God for your life. Thank God for your children. Thank God and proclaim the goodness of God. In the last 34 years, the Lord has been faithful. You, even if you do not start at 34, you have been part of what God has done. I say lift up your voice. I say lift up your voice. You have everything to give thanks to God for. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your grandchildren. Thank God for your husband. Thank God for your wife. Thank God for the open heaven upon your life. Thank God for what God has done. The Bible says, remember of all his miracle. Remember of all his miracle. Remember the day that the heaven opened upon you. Remember the day that there was no hope. The Lord really restoration of hope. Remember the day that things looked as if they were not going right, but with the outstretched arm of God, lift up your voice. Thank God for what God has done for you. Thank God for what God has done in your life. Thank God who have not allowed the enemy to make a prey of you. The Bible says when the enemy come like a flood, the Lord raise a standard. Think about the goodness of God upon your life. Think about the goodness of God upon your family. He healed you of all your diseases. The outstretched arm of his name make a way. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He speaks from the mountain and his voice echo. The God Almighty is his name. He is Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha. He's the God that said, let there be an equal. The outstretched arm of his hand, he shattered the enemy. Think about the goodness of God. I said, thank God for 34 years of God's faithfulness, of God's goodness, of God's mercy, of God's loving kindness, and the outstretched arm of his hand, of God's promises over this house. As he has said it, we have seen it. We have seen the blind see. We have seen the lame walk. We have seen the manifestation as we have read the Bible. Oh, King of glory, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless your name, oh Lord God Father. Thank you, Lord, we bless your name, oh Lord. In Jesus' anointed name we pray.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wave to the Lord this morning. God has been good to us. Wave to him. Say thank you. Say thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. You didn't come here by your strength, but because he has given you strength. That's why you are here. So I really glorify the name of the Lord. Before we open the service this morning, I just read this psalm to encourage our spirit, soul, and body. Shout for joy to the Lord, all Christ's faithful tabernacle. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Prepare yourself this morning to enter his presence with thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. God has been good to us, Christ said, tabernacle. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Why not wave to him as you prepare to lift your voice this morning to worship him? Father, we thank you. Father, even when we are unfaithful, you have been faithful. For this reason, we praise you this morning. Hallelujah to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we worship. Amen. With an uplifted hand, let's read the book of Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his heart to what is false, nor swear deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Amen. Let's read the book of Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hands and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
the sanctuary of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, welcome to the sanctuary of God. In the sanctuary we will lift up our hands. In the sanctuary we will clap our hands. In the sanctuary we will sing unto the Lord with our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Why, are you ready?
Amen.
Are you ready?
Amen.
We lift our hands.
We lift our hands. We give you the glory.
We lift our hands.
We lift our hands. We give you the glory.
worship Him in the language you know. Worship Him in tongues, or your mind, with your spirit. I can see the cloud of glory in this minute. Glory be to your name, O Jesus. Father, we exalt you. Come on.
His voice, and they will come to life. For I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, says the Lord. In the last days, sons and daughters will prophesy. Yes, O Lord. Young men will see vision. Mandre do sobra kabaro dashiyalatala. And the old men shall dream dreams. Lord, we exalt and magnify Thee. Thank You for this time we are living in. It is the end time. We worship You for today. It is the beginning of our great celebration. But we thank You that You began with us from Monday. Thank You for the impartation. Thank You for the miracles. Thank You for the healing. Thank You for the encouragement. Thank You for the empowerment. Lord, let Your holy fire blaze in every heart that will worship in this place today. We thank You for the assured promises that we receive from You. And we give You the praise and honor and glory. We thank You, Lord God. Thank You so much for what You have done. For 34 years, we exalt You. In Jesus' holy name, we are praised. Put your hands together for the living God.
Hallelujah. Let me see a smile in your faces. As somebody who loved the Lord. You love the Father? Give Him a smile. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to someone beside you and greet them. Happy 34th anniversary. Happy anniversary. We give a praise to God. You are very welcome. Please, let's put our hands together for the choir. We're going to sing now. We worship in Jesus. Thank You, thank You. Thank You, thank You. I think I need to give them a song that they sing.
I leave my heart. Thank you. We thank God for raising Christ's faith tabernacle in the nations of the earth at a time as this. We thank God for the grace and mercy that we have received from Him as a church, as a people, as families, and as individual. We thank God. When I look at the lives of each one, from the time that you joined CFT, one of my thanks is, even if you joined CFT last week, your life had not been the same. It's a great joy to know that. It is a great joy to see lives transformed. It is a great joy to see captives set free. It's a great joy to see men and women whose hearts have been torn towards heaven to walk in the holiness of the Father. It's a great joy to see people who did not know their left from their right, knowing their left from their right and knowing the future. It's a great joy to celebrate what God had done or what He started 40 years ago. And because today officially is the beginning of our anniversary, I will tell you this, that if you have been very much reflective, which I know you guys are, you will agree with me that for the past few months, from June last year, July really, when the Lord gave the revelation about June and 2024, from that season, God has been preparing you for this year. This is a significant year for Christ's Faith Tabernacle. I can speak as the convener, or the one who Jesus appeared to in 1983, 40 years ago, February, just this February, when I was in a period of fasting and prayer for 3 days. And the story begins as this. I was a land surveyor and a mapping scientist, and that's my career. And then suddenly in 1984, in the pursuit of my career to go into a research or a PhD in remote sensing and satellite geodesy, I went to Nigeria because I needed British Council to give me a scholarship for the university that I wanted to attend. And so I went to Nigeria to visit British Council, because I was here. I did, of course, mapping sciences here. And as I arrived, we were on the dinner table when a prophetess, she's still alive. I'm sure that she will be joining. She's online now. Elder Matilda. When we were praying for the meal to eat, she said, "Thus saith the Lord." After speaking in tongues for 30 minutes, because she was told to bless the food, and she prayed for 30 minutes, and praying in tongues. And I, who came from England, my heart is, oh my God, Sister Matilda is to bless the food. And you know, we are all used to, "Bless this food, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen." And she began to pray in tongues for 30 minutes. So I was looking at her, and suddenly she said, "Thus saith the Lord." That's the interpretation of 30 minutes tongue. Interpretation was, "Thus saith the Lord." He called me my native name, "Shegun, my servant. Lock yourself in a room and do not see the sunlight for 3 days for the thing I am about to reveal to you." Anybody who belongs to Christ's Faith Tabernacle Global, from India to Africa, by the way, Pastor Kata has arrived, he'll be arriving this morning, because I spoke with him from India while he was getting ready to go to Istanbul, pass through Istanbul and come. So he's on his way. So from India to Africa, Australia to Australasia to United States, you need to know how this church came to be. This church did not come to be because somebody was frustrated in life and he thought that, well, church business is what is next. It didn't come to be because somebody, you know, gathered with his elect and felt that a church should be started. And it didn't come to be because somebody revolted in a church and thought that we can do it better. All my life, I served in the house of God. I was born in the church, not in the hospital. And when I grew to the age of reason, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. There are a lot of mysteries around my birth, you know, which I don't want to talk today, but I will speak them on every night. I will give you a chapter and then go into the world. It is necessary for you to know this origin, and that will settle your observation of me that I have been as constant as the Northern Star. Several waves are blown in UK and across the globe, but it did not touch Alfred Williams. I do not move by crowd. I do not move by mob. I don't gang up with people that think they made it. I'm not here to make it. I'm here to help the death of Christ to prevail over the kingdom of darkness. That's the only reason why I'm alive. And anywhere I go is the gospel, that mortal men shall be free. I do not peddle the gospel for money. If I wanted money, I would not preach. I would have gone straight away into my practice. But I wanted something greater than money, and his name is Jesus. I recognize that he died for me when I was very young. And of course, I grew in the church being groomed, you know, under men and women who saw angels, men and women who are proven prophets, people who the Lord Jesus will speak to and tell them what will happen date and time, and those things will happen. Not prophets who try to analyze occurrences, but prophets who pronounce mysteries that are yet to happen. No wonder it is the same way that Jesus has been dealing with me among you. And so the sister Lola prayed for 30 minutes and said, God said, I should lock up myself and not see the light for 3 days. Which I did. But I did not expect Jesus, of course, at that time. I expected a scholarship. At the end of the third day, I believe in my heart that when I go to the British Council in Lagos, at Marina Street, they will give me the scholarship I wanted. And so on the third day, I fell into a vision, an open vision. As I was sitting down at 3 a.m. praying, I just saw the door of the wall of my building gave way, and there was no more wall. And I saw a man, a person like a man, took the road like a mat, and he threw it from heavens. And that mat he threw became a wide road. And he started coming down, dressed like an army of old, coming down towards me. But as he approached me, I recognized his face, because I've seen him a number of times before that time. And so in my spirit, I stood up, and my body was left on the chair while my spirit was standing before him. And he said, go to London and start the work. And I said to him, I was a surveyor. I was practicing in London then with Glen Service. You know, and my project includes the O2 reclamation and the Bekalo Line extension setting out. That is what I was doing at the time. But of course, I was a pastor in the Baptists. That's eventually. So I was working with Bekalo extension. So then he said, go now to London and start the work. And I said, I'm a land surveyor. And he said to me, what you should do first, you now do last. And his words are so compelling. His words, when Jesus speaks, he permits you to express your opinion. But in expressing your opinion, the difference between Jesus speaking and you discussing with men is that his word, you will know, is compelling. not forceful, but it has power. His word makes you what you, it turns you to what he wanted you to be, if I may say that. And he allowed me to express my opinion and my ambition in life. My ambition in life is to set up survey company all over Europe, because I worked for George Wimpy in Nigeria in several projects before coming to England. One of the projects is George Boucher Road. I was the engineer in charge of it from scratch to finish. One of it is Magama Gumau Road and all stuff like that. The first estate built in Abuja. I was supervising engineer. So that was my intention. And he allowed me to say it. And he now said to me, he didn't tell me not to stop my intention. He said, what you should do first, you'd now do that. He said, go now to London and start the work. And then he stretched his hand towards me, and in his hands is the robe. That's why you see me wear bishop's robe. Jesus stretched that robe to me, and the robe came upon me. There are many mysteries about me and God and heaven, and I'll be sharing with you during this convention within times, just to help your heart to be strong, that the God of the Bible, as he was in the beginning, so he is now, and evermore shall he be. Jesus did not change, and the church of God cannot change. Don't worry about all the changes you see in the world. They are not God's church. Okay? How you know the true church of God is this. The set man of the house cannot change from the scriptures. He cannot change at all. If you see a place where the set man of the house has changed, he is blind. That is a company of, you know, people who have eyes led by a blind man. And so he gave me that, and he gave me a rod. It was black. The whole garment he gave me was black. It took me time to understand what the black is for. But in these days, you will have found with me, there is no blackness on earth. There is no cult on earth. There is no demonic power on earth that I cannot easily break into. You are my evidence. I've taken some of you young believers into the den of Satan, and all the demons ran away, and you came back on hot. It's because the commission he gave me is to go and destroy. The Bible says in the book of 2 John, 1 John 2, it says the reason the Son of God was manifest to destroy devil's works. So, and I received that with a rod like the military officer's rod with a tag. And he took me on his wings, and we flew. We flew past the cloud, and we came to England. And I saw what I knew where I was, because I was in England. And I saw revival of this nation. This nation will bow their knees to Jesus. Let me tell you, though these nations are derailed, they have legislated sin to be lawful. Satan has penetrated our country, United Kingdom, to the place whereby it is almost impossible for a righteous man to bear or to strangulate righteousness completely. But you know something? We have a God who says, I will build my church. My, oh God. You know, let me tell you something. Regardless of what the devil is doing, God, Jesus, he has a union in the earth. And he's reserved us among his union for such a time as this. We are the one that will bust the meat of Satan here. That's why God empowered this house. You know, minimum, if you're inclined towards reading with apostle, your minimum is a master's degree and professional qualification. All right? And some of us who have two master's, three master's, PhDs and all stuff. Because God needs those people to be in the hem of affairs to overturn all the decisions. At the same time, he needs the full soldiers upon whose miraculous power of God will reside, whose word will be the word of living God, whose prophecy is not to make people feel tingling, but it is the voice of the maker of heaven and earth. And those things will happen even if you don't believe it. And so with the cooperation of those, and put some of you in business, the cooperation of all those synergies is what will change this present world. You know, I was discussing with someone yesterday. He said to me that, you know, on the television they were showing, they were showing the program about Chinese and England. And they said that our children in primary school, our education system is encouraging our children in primary school about homosexuality and teaching them about, you know, immorality. But Chinese people are teaching their children about science from the age of 3 or 5. And that person said that we don't have to fool ourselves. We may be great in name, but a greater generation is rising that we have ignored. We have ignored our generation. And we have, Satan has penetrated us so much that to teach people about, to debase the mind of young ones and teach them that anything you can do, there is no sin or righteousness. And then having caught the mind of the youths with all this, American gymnastics, they call the gospel, some of them, and most of them really. That's what the devil did in America. All manners of prophets and apostles coming up in one day, one night, and then flamboyantly displaying what they do not have. Many who lived on debts, presenting themselves as extremely wealthy, which is falsehood, which comes from Lucifer. And then they have Satan tried to hinder the word. Of course, in America, we see how there's some fragments over there who are still holding the truth, the word of truth, who will not compromise their word, and they will preach this sound doctrine. Similarly, in Nigeria, that God raised all manners of doctrines of demons and stuff, that you go to churches, you don't hear about Jesus, but of devils. How can you prevail on that? And we have all this manifestation of lies all over the globe in the church of the living God. But I tell you, God has raised CFT among others in the world who will never compromise. And so I saw the revival. And I'm not moved by all these things that Satan is doing in this country. We're in this country for one purpose only. And after that purpose is fulfilled, we die. And that is that the world will know that Jesus is Lord. Whether the devil likes it or not, as long as we live and we are in the United Kingdom and we are citizens of this Britain, what made this shore, this island, great was the extension of the gospel that came out of this shore to the ends of the earth. That is when this nation became great. And we are here to restore back the greatness, you know, in every ramification. I tell you, come on. God has called you into a house that he has covenant with. And you need to know this. And this is how my calling was. And the Lord came and left. But then I was sent by God. When I came back, the rest of the story, I will tell you how CFT began. But now let me just give you a template of who are we, because you need to know this before we go to this week. The convention fully begins tomorrow. Okay, but this is just a preamble of the convention. Who is Christ with Tabernacle? What do we stand for? I've told you about my calling. Let me give you a little glimpse, which I will explain more in the week. When the Lord Jesus appeared to me, I came back to London with my wife. Of course, you know, we were together here and we went on back to our flying. She was a flight stewardess. She was a pastor there. And so we went back to London. We came back to London. And so I've told the church around me that, you know, I'm going to bring my wife and all stuff like that. And when we knelt down to pray, I saw an open vision. This church did not do any significant thing without an open vision, as is in the Bible. I'm not talking about imagination in human head. I saw a building on my knees, just praying that I want to go to the church, the next local church beside us. And I saw this building, that is the building. And I saw the road beside it on the left wing as you are facing the building. Yeah, it's on the left wing, that road. All right? And there is, at the back of it, a train line and a bridge. And I saw that bridge, and I saw the streets beside it. And then I saw this building as it is. It has not changed from 1984. So, and the Lord said that is the place you should worship me. But I said, but I've told the other church, given them promises, And the Lord said, that is the place you worship me. So we went to Olivet, therefore, Baptist Church. Out of this church, which came from Reverend Spurgeon, because this church came from the calling and the rising of Reverend Spurgeon, who God used mightily, especially to transform the youths in the United Kingdom. You need to go and search his name and see what God did through Reverend Spurgeon, a Baptist. As I entered the building, though small, at the end of the church I sat, and the pastor stopped as we sat down and said, God told him that this young man has a message for this church. How could you enter a church and sit at the back? And the pastor said, you who just come in, God told me you should come, if not by the Holy Spirit. I want, you know, my testimony will help you know this, that the vision of heaven that God shows you, the dreams that God shows you, you don't have to make it happen. Because the one who showed is faithful and just to make it happen. You only need to follow Jesus one day at a time. Promises, visions, prophecies given to you, they will happen if, when the time comes, that manifestation still meets you serving Jesus. Am I talking with you? So, the pastor said it. But when the pastor called me, I saw this is between myself and the Holy Spirit. I thought to myself that coming into a church, it looks so dead. I was coming from a church of about 1,000 in Nigeria, where there is revival, the blind see, the lame walk in normal service. That's how I grew. I didn't grow in a church of stories. I grew in an apostolic church. An apostolic church is a church where the same miracles that happened in the book of Acts is happening among them. Anything less is not apostolic. Apostolic doesn't have to do just with government. But a lot of people today who have called themselves apostles and all stuff, even though they're not even called. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 12:12. If there is it says, I saw a man who, let me have it. You know, it says, 2 Corinthians. Don't worry, this happens sometimes. Corinthians. The things that mark apostle, what did he call it? Read it again. So if anybody is an apostle, that is how we know it. It's by signs and miracles, not by talking all the theories you learn from a mushroom school. No. No. And further going to scripture, Paul said, I'm not the least among the apostles. The Lord Jesus appeared unto me also. So for anybody who will be called an apostle legitimately, the Lord Jesus is the one who appears to them and commissions. And that's the reason why when it comes to, you know, the grace that follow the calling, anybody who calls an apostle, they will run away. Because the grace will not accompany. And this is what God has used to mark Christ with tabernacle. The Lord appeared unto me also, even up till now. You are my witness. And so, I was pointed out by the pastor. And therefore, I decided to share with them how God led me to that place, but not about my calling. And when I told them this, majority of those who were in the church were looking at me like a strange man. Because never in the history of that church has somebody said, thus saith the Lord. They are typical Baptists. Sing four hymns, read one scripture, close service in 1 hour. Control the Holy Spirit, box him so that he cannot manifest. The difference between Pentecostal movement and this evangelical movement is this. Evangelical are systematic people before God. They are seeing God's church. But they curtail what Holy Spirit can do by rules and regulations. But Pentecostal movement is a church that has no such. while we may have a format, which is right to do for good governance, but we move by the Spirit. Our format is not rigid. Also, we do not bore people. Because from beginning to the end, it's manifestation of God. And nobody can look at time when God is moving. Similarly, if God moves within a short time, nobody can prolong it because Holy Spirit had left. It will become boring. And so, I share with them. But let me tell you, in this church, within 6 months, God brought people. Can you imagine this, that Jesus appeared to me, but I was looking for a place to serve? I didn't think that because Jesus appeared to me, I must go and start Alfred Williams' ministry. It doesn't work like that. In the week, I will teach you deeply. Many have shipwrecked because they stepped into what God did not send them. If God didn't send you and you stick your head out, you will not have covering. Satan will finish you. It's a matter of time. Unless you belong to his camp. And this is what's about a lot of people who became false prophets. They started as children of God. But because of the lack of knowledge of the word and hearing God, they stepped into their imagination. And then they blew some because the devil helped that happen. When you have a church just go, and women dress naked, boys dress like insane, everybody can do whatever they like, whatever they think is righteous. And the Bible is no more the standard to qualify righteousness. Satan is the one who did it. And then he will sniff you up instantly. At the prime of the blossoming, everything will fizzle out. But whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And so, how did the church grow? I asked the pastor, do people not come to this church? He said, yes. They come, but they don't stay. I said, do you have a book where they sign? He said, yes. I said, give me the book. He said, what do you want to do with it? I said, I will pray them back. He said, pray them back? I said, yes. So he gave me the book. And I will pray from 12 midnight to 1. So if you're in the church and you say you don't have anything to do, you can do many things. CFT, I think let me just put this in. We exist to train, to equip, and to release. When I teach you about 21st century leadership or high impact leadership, stroke, sustainable leadership, in the week, that's the seminar, I will go deep into it. And you can ask me any question, whether academic question, whether philosophical question, because I haven't read through the Bible. I also was trained and I'm qualified to teach in this area in academic sphere. But then, this house, that's what we stand for. We train, we equip, and we release. Creating enabling environments for each one to use their gift or skill. So that when you use your gift and skill, you will become what you call humanly expert. That's what it is for. And all this is from Jesus and the book of Acts. I will show you that during the seminars. And so, I prayed in six months, people will be coming. I will stand at the door. If anybody comes, I say, your name, sir, or your name, ma'am, where do you live? And they say, oh, you have been here before. You are very welcome. And each person that came remained. Similarly, those who have not been there before began to come. Among them is Pastor Sidney, Pastor Adisa, their wives. Pastor Debbie joined at the age of 19. Can you imagine? And she joined me at a very good time. And when Mama Titilao, who is her mother, came, this brother Alfred, you are going to the house of a man. I don't train you that way. When she came, she saw me. She said, no wonder my daughter is visiting you. And she said to me, please take care of them. Take care of them. She is now an elder in this house. From that time, she had followed and remained till this time. That's about 38 years or 39 years. This is how this church, you know, was used by God to bless and grow until the chairs there were filled. There were 16 when I joined them. At the time the Lord took me out, we were about 120. At that time in Southeast, we were the largest church. Evangelical church. We were the largest. You know, I'll talk to you more about this because I want to show you a few things today before we close. But in the week, I'll give you details. So, it was in that church. After my tenure there, the Lord sent me to Christ Apostolic Church in Nigeria in 1988, where God did a lot of miracles. That year, in 90 days crusade, we baptized 1,500 new converts from Islam, including Islamic clerics, and also from witch doctors and many others. And so, this is, to me, the foundation on which God built this church until 1999, when the Lord, sorry, 1989, when I came back and there was no place for me, went to Baptist Church and I was, my pastor pleaded with me, don't stay here. Don't stay here. We cannot contain what God is sending you. Pastor Don Bishop. I said, God will direct you where to go. I went back to CAC. I did planting for them in the area within London. I became the head of Professor Badare's church in Europe. And God did so many things. And they rose against me from the headquarters and said that I was catching witches. And because I'm catching witches, I should leave the church. So I left CAC Church because they told me to get away. That I'm catching witches. That's the allegation. This is in record. And so now I said, Lord, what is going to happen here? So I went on the 7 days to seek the Lord. I saw the Lord for 7 days because he didn't hear me. He didn't talk to me, rather. He heard me. He didn't talk to me the first day. On the seventh day, the Lord spoke. You see, I will teach you about fasting. When I came to England, they introduced me to some stupid fasting in the Baptist church. We went for fasting, and by 12 noon, they served us tea. They said, coffee break. And I asked my pastor, coffee break what? No, he said, in fasting, you can take coffee, you can take tea. It doesn't stop your fasting. And then at the time, they introduced me also to chocolate fasting, which means you just eat chocolate only. Yeah, they introduced me to it. Maybe you have passed through such lectures before. They are trash from the pit of hell. If you do those kind of fasting, you will get chocolate vision. You get Bonvita vision and Milo vision and and what do you call this? You want to fast, you are not serious. The God of Abraham, God of Isaac, is not a God who tells you to fast. So when you decide to fast, it's because you made a vow with him. But he has set the rules concerning fasting. Abstaining yourself from food and water from the sunset to the sunset. That's the fasting. I know the reason why many don't experience God in these days is because they fast, but not unto God. They fast to their brain. And some of them fast wrongly. That is, they apply fasting to what they should command God. A command, rather, in God, I mean. And those things should take place. But they go and fast. Like when enemies are against you, it's not a time to fast. But you can fast because if you have not been walking in godliness, then it's your time to be hungry. Am I talking to somebody? Uh-huh. If you are a Christian and you are walking the way you think, when enemy catch up with you and say, if you don't fast, they may extinguish you. But if you are a Christian and you are walking in godliness, in the days of enemy rising, there's a covenant with God. The Lord will rise up like a flood against the enemy. Even you have so much confidence in God to call him your father and speak in his behalf. And expect, and he will do it. Are we together now? So fasting, I will talk to you about what fasting is and how you fast and stuff like that during this convention. And so, at the end of the 7 days, the Lord showed me Christ with tabernacle. I was supposed, I had a thought to go and work with Bishop Curry, Church of England at the time, because I was among his prayer warriors. And the Lord said no. And when I asked the Lord about this, the Lord said, you know, I went to my own and they knew me not. To those who know me, I give them the power to become sons of God. He said the prophet is not honored but in his own, by his own people. And told me all what I've gone through is because I was born Pentecostal, but I went to Baptist primary school, Baptist secondary school. And if there was university at the time, I would have gone. So I was half Baptist, half Pentecostal. So I know all the doctrines. I was voted out in the Olivet Baptist Church. They voted me out. Hallelujah. Because it is vote by vote. We even vote God. We vote whether it's the father, son that should be in charge. And eventually we vote that we don't want to hear speaking in tongues, which is the Holy Spirit. And then the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit packed their load and they left. So whatever the case may be, until we brought him back here. So this is how a brief about my calling was. And the Lord showed me this church. And when then we started a fellowship. This church started not by printing leaflets. I didn't print leaflet to anybody after the Lord told me. As I went to Bedford Market, normally I was shopping. I pray and have fellowship with God. I don't know where to do, what to start. And suddenly, my old member who had left, because all of them scattered when I left. And he said to me that, he met me. Oh, Pastor. Brother Dick. How are you, Brother Dick? He said, since you left, we have been in dark. He said, can we come to your house? You teach us the word of God. I said, yes, why not? And the following day, I said, okay, let's come on Wednesday. On Wednesday, he came, and 33 people were in my house. I did not invite them. Of course, we informed one or two families that, you know, those ones who were my members in the crusade I did in CAC. And they are here, they're going to no church. So they came. But let me see. The 33 that came that day, none of them is in CFT today. No one. Those 33 that came. My house, 33 came. The next week, they went to 40-something. The following week, I think 46. The following week, they went to 50-something. And that's how that fellowship grew. And my neighbors were complaining. So we prayed. And God gave us the Hughesfield Community Center. Now, we're going to Hughesfield Community Center. We continue to hold prayer sessions every Wednesday. I'll pray for the sick, you know, teach them the word. Miracles, healing, and stuff happen. And then on the 28th of February, let me say that 28th, you've heard me in my previous years, I said the last Friday, and the last Wednesday of February. So I went to this year, I said, let me just even check the calendar to look what date was the last Wednesday, and it was 28th. So, as we were having a meeting, we finished having our prayer meeting and stuff like that. We didn't start a church. We don't know it's a church. We just know this, a fellowship. Teach the word, preach the word, equip, empower and release them. So, as we finished, the Holy Ghost just opened my eyes and I saw an open vision. By prophet, God led Israel out of Egypt. By prophet, they enter Canaan. I'm not talking about the prophets of today. I'm talking about prophet who see. Nobody can be a prophet without the gift and grace to be seen open visions by dreams, by visions. Numbers 12:6. Anybody who claims that office should resign for his life's sake. Because if you do what you think on earth for God, if you die not doing what God really wants for you, you wasted the whole of your existence. That is if you even enter heaven. I will give you scriptures to back that up in this week. So, we must be careful. And the Lord showed me that place and said, tell your people to meet you on this Wednesday, or Sunday. This is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. To meet you in this church on Sunday at 2 p.m. That is where you will worship. So by prophecy and open vision, God established this church. I went in the week, the rest is story. The Reverend Father Owen told me, who is the vicar, that nobody, they have never given their sanctuary to anybody. But he said, I believe God spoke. That's Father Owen. May God bless his soul. This is the man who, when I told my vision to, I was just probably about the age of 30-something there. And this man said to me that, I believe God spoke to you. And he took me straight to that place. And he override all the prerequisite for such. And on Sunday, my members did not say to me on Saturday that, how will we get it? Let me tell you something. We worship the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When he told Abraham, go and sacrifice your son, Abraham believed God and took Isaac. And they were going to slaughter. And the boy was saying, Father, he is Jehovah Jireh. He says, this is the stick. He says, where is the lamb? And the first time the Father revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh. And he said, the Lord will provide. If you follow him, you have nothing to fear. If you follow Jesus, you have nothing to fear. He will provide for every vision. If you struggle over a vision, that vision is from your head, not from him. Am I talking to you? That's the God we serve here. All of you must know this. If you follow me as I follow Christ, it is because Isaac and Jacob came from the loins of Abraham. That's the reason why covenant was fulfilled upon them. He made the covenant to the fathers. He established it in the son. And he fulfilled it in the third generation. That is God's principle. Very rugged. He will never change his mind. So I tell you, Isaac did what Jacob said. And Isaac taught what Abraham said. And Isaac taught Jacob. And Jacob did what Isaac said. And in Jacob it was fulfilled. Do what I say, and you will be fulfilled by my God. This is how I started and we started. So I told the Lord, I don't know how to start church. I grew in a church which I'm familiar to see the structure of the church, the running of the church, and all stuff like that. But I was a chorister all my life and an intercessor from 1967 or 66, towards the end of 66. You know? And the Lord told me, I will build my church and the gates of hell. I said, what message should I preach? He said, that's what I've told you. Your first message is Matthew 16:18. I, Jesus, will build this church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And behold, 2 p.m. on that Sunday, we came into a building we did not own. We came into a property we have no affiliation with. Into a space that is divinely provided, but hidden from the eyes of men. To break the norm of a well-established institution, church of England. And we all met and we worshiped. That was the birth of Christ with Tabernacle. And let me say this. Everybody came. They never even asked me, how did we get the church? Can you see how my members are? And that's what you are to today. Because anything I tell you that God said, none of you have asked me that, how can God do it? You just say, yes, go for it, Apostle. That's what you are. And you can't come before me and mention good things. I say, but you need to, but. No. Go for it, I tell you. Hallelujah. You will break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. Yes. Break down the gates of bronze, cut to the bars of iron. Double doors open before you. Hallelujah, somebody. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shield and hiding place, our eternal home. Is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Christ's faith tabernacle is the God of the apostles, is the God of the prophet, is the God of the Old Testament, and the God of the New Testament. And when Jesus said, it is finished, he meant it is finished. So, I welcome you into this house. Our journey from that place to this place, you will know it. Well, you will know it. And during the convention, I will share with you. And I will also let you know. You know, each thing I share with you, I share in the Bible. You know, I know many of you have read. That's what I want for members of my church. You must be a reader. So that nobody outside talk to you and you look like, you know, a buffoon. Or, you know, looking at them as if, what are you talking about? We must know what they know. Because we also know what they don't know. By the Spirit of God, the Word of living God. Am I talking to you? And so this week is a commemorable week for us. I come to encourage you just today, so that this week you will commit the whole of your soul and your heart. Our first mission was a year after we started, and that is 1991. When we went to our first mission in Greece, a lot happened at Galaxidi. Our second mission was in United Kingdom when we were called in Worthing, because the people of Worthing were having problem with witchcraft. And my father was a wizard. I mean, he was a wizard, understatement. He was a wizard. But he was higher than any grandmaster in Freemasonry, because grandmasters come to him for power. He was in a cult, and in that cult, he was the only human being. All other members of the cult are evil spirits. I told you how they are born in my family. You are born in a curse. The day you come out of your mother's womb, they will invoke every evil spirit into that fetus, so that that child will come totally possessed to the teeth. And that is how my father was born, by his own father, my grandfather, who was a grandmaster himself, and he gave birth to a son mightier than him in occultism. But you know something? If the Lord points his finger to you, woe to the spirit that will say you will not go. When God said to Pharaoh, let my people go, that's it. And that's what I've been telling you. There is no demon on earth, no power on earth, Satan with all his cohorts that exist, that can confront you if you follow me as I follow Christ. And believe what I teach you, what I show you in the Bible. I don't malign the Bible. As far as I'm concerned, the Bible says something, I don't believe any other thing contrary. Really, as a lawyer, I mustn't be. Because the Lord tells you something, you can't go and argue before the judge. Contrary. Listen to me, therefore. We have gone on mission. We went to Worthing. From Worthing, we went to Barnstable. We went to Brassworthy. We went to Holsworthy. We didn't know where all these places exist in England until we were sent out. We went to Bude. Went to Battlesbridge. We went all over the whole place. And destroyed the powers of witchcraft which holds this country. All the basements came from witchcraft and Satanism. Manipulation of human mind for a man to think he's a woman, a woman to think he's a man, it's possession. Anybody who does that are possessed. Not oppressed. You cannot be born again and be that. Impossible. Because darkness and light cannot be. Don't make mistake to die if you get involved in those activities. The first day in that activity, you are initiated straight away to Luciferianism. I know the roots, because of where I come from. Are you talking to me? The same thing with men plaiting their hair, dreadlocking and stuff. They came from the devil. It's bad in the Bible. But in my language, we call it Shango. In Benin Republic, they call it voodoo. It's the same thing. And you see men plaiting their hair, putting earrings on their ears and stuff. It's just that spirit that is working in them. Someone can argue it, but it's, you know, your argument will be big business. If anybody is hearing me on television, you want to take it further, I can give my time to you and show you. You are talking to somebody who came from that route. You can, somebody who has swum ocean, you can't threaten him with your swimming pool and tell him he will drown in swimming pool. Am I talking something to you?
Yes,
I have swum ocean. I can't be afraid of swimming pool. Hallelujah. That's why I don't spare the truth. If you see you are having that mind, you are possessed. Simple. They are all from Satan. To make people go to hell. That's the ultimate aim of the devil. Or if you are sympathetic towards them, it is because you are oppressed. Like somebody who doesn't do the act, but you are sympathetic to the act. You are demonized. But if you do that act, the first day you have been initiated into occultism, you can never operate the Spirit of God. But Satan sometimes counterfeit as if it's Holy Spirit. I told you how to know it. He appeared like an angel in vision. I told you how to deal with it. I've been teaching you this for the past few months. So, therefore, we've been to missions to Africa, to India, and all the rest of it. But here we are today. Here we are today. Name the continents. We've been to the U.S., destroy Casadega, the place that was dedicated to Satan 110 years before we got there. And by the spoken word, prophetic word, church rose up in that very spot as the Lord spoke through me. Excuse me, somebody. Go and read Charisma. You will find the story there. God, an incredible miracle. Dead bodies have been raised in this church. Cripples have walked lame. And we've seen miracles of God. And this place you are, the glory of God appears here every week. A manifestation of His power is all around this place. Some people have spent some days speaking with the Father. And the Father had also spoken to us. That, can't you see it? The pillar of fire. The pillar of cloud. I welcome you to the palace of our God. This week will be greater than any week you have ever lived. And after this week, your life will never remain the same. There is something heaven has brewed. Satan can't stop it. Impossible. Satan can't stop us. Talk less, stop heaven. Impossible. Satan does not have the power they ascribe to him. Because the Bible says, Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I have given you authority over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing by enemies. The Bible says. So if you are a Christian and you say, but it hurt me, something is wrong with you. Not with the word. Above we said it, anybody who comes from a cultic background, you can only be at the same level. If your father can walk through the world, then I will be, say you are my party. If your father belonged to a cult and no human being is in this cult, my father belonged to his own cult. No human being. All of his mates are demons. And when he's in his room talking, you'll be hearing many people speaking. When you open the door, he's the only human being you see. Tell me if your father was like that. Anybody here, stand up. Your father would have belonged to a cult that have human beings. Your father or your grandfather or your ancestor would have been in a cult where if they have difficulty, they have to consult other cult members. My father don't consult man for any difficulty. He will call his evil spirits. They talk to him. Okay? So when I'm talking to you about Jesus, you have no option but to believe it. You just have no argument. If the Lord Jesus, my father was so devil person that he could not live in flats. He couldn't live with people. He went to build his house in the forest. That is where he lived. Because you know, he was living in the forest. He does not live among mankind. Why? He said because all the demons who are his parties, if they come to the people, they'll be hurting people, afflicting them. You know, people are useless and they make them more useless. Anybody who doesn't have Jesus in his mind, he's just for the useless city. A city called useless. That's what he's following. You don't have Jesus in you. I'm so sorry, Mike. You just followed useless city. So his demons will be afflicting the people.
Because if there's no cause, there's no curse. My father will be rebuking them and sentencing them, the demons. And so he now said, okay, if that be the case, all of us cannot live among people. Because you people, you are very wicked. You know a wicked calling, wicked. There is the wicked, there is the more wicked, there is the most wicked. Then there is the most ferocious wicked. Hello, somebody. And so they went to live with his old friend. No marriage, nothing, in the bush. It is out of that man I came. And I was conceived by the womb who was a prophetess of Baal. If God was to mark sin, I should never see salvation. But you know the time came. When Jesus said, he will say to the north, give up. And to the south, don't hold back. To the west, give them up. My children from afar. It is the voice of the maker of heaven and earth. No power can confront him. He is the one who created all powers. And he said to you, I have given you authority over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing by any means. If there's anybody that the Satan has hurt, today you are set free by the power that makes heaven and earth. The Bible says nothing by any means. If anybody hearing me, you have a pact with the devil, I dislocate and annul it. Obliterate it by the blood of Jesus. Listen to me. There is no power, I'm saying. I'm looking for one under heaven who will come and tell me that he has power. I will tell him to test it. I went to Jebuland. Yes, what do you want to say? Yes, ask it. Yes, sir. The question is, did my father repent before he died? Let me tell you about my father, really. Thank you for that question. You know, my father does not want, he doesn't know repentance. Because my father, Lucifer told my father, he is the maker of heaven and earth. And so my father worshipped him as the maker of heaven and earth. But you know how my father was saved. This is it. When a barren woman is brought to my father will lay hands on the womb. If you rip that womb up, when he lay hands on the abdomen, a new womb will appear there. And there is incantation he will speak. That woman will conceive that month by demons. Okay? So, there are children. The children are not made by Satan. The children are made by God. But the impediments that hinder pregnancy will be taken away by the devil himself. And the children coming will be demonized as messengers of hell. That is how people who went to seek children from occultic people come up with demonized children to the earth. But you see, when my father married my mother, and the story is very simple. My father's sister began to look for her brother, and she heard that her brother has now gone to the forest for years, and he looked for the place, found the place, and he went to my father and said that you are a son of human being, you cannot remain living in this forest, and as your father and mother gave birth to you, too must give birth. So he told my father, get up and dress up, follow me. In our culture, if your elder sister, especially when you don't have parents, talk, that's it. And occultic people respect that culture so much. So he followed my father, our sister, back to the city. It was our sister who married my mother for her, for him. All right? Went to get this girl and say, marry. That's how it is. In England, you're lucky you are bringing your own girlfriend for us to marry and rubber stamp it. God save you. If you are still born in Africa, it is your father who will tell you that you are ripe to marry. Yes. You can't go and bring a girl, say, go back. If he says you are ripe to marry, he will now look for a girl that he thinks is good. Okay, give you. But thank God that we are free now. So now, the question is, how did was my father born again? So, my father now, my mother could not conceive. You know, my mother was a priestess of Baal. She couldn't conceive, okay? My father said, that's a problem. So he took him. They took her and then did all what he does normally with Satan. And yet, my mother did not conceive. So, in his arrogance of power, for 10 years, he was still consulting the demonic world. And then,
he decided to invoke Lucifer. I think I've told you, those of you who have been in this house, this again and again. And when he invoked Lucifer, Lucifer now told my father, I do not have power to do this one. My father said, what? But you told me you are the ultimate power. How dare you tell me you don't have power? You are lying to me, Satan. And Lucifer said, I do not tell men this, I'm telling you. I have been arrested by the one who made heaven and earth. His name I could not mention. My father said, are you not the creator? He said, no. He said, you see, I'm telling you this because I'm under compulsion by the one who made heaven and earth now. And he said to my father, if not for that, I would have recklessly destroyed you. My father said, in his own pride, I kokorintiko, you know, in my capacity, not you, Satan, you can't destroy me. The devil laughed. He said, it is that man. My father said, okay, so now I know that in your kingdom there is still another Satan more than you. Tell me where he is. And so he said, okay, come, give my father a day, and said, I will take you to where they worship him. He said, I can't do this except I'm compelled by him. So my father didn't understand. So he took my father to a Butelefun, CAC, 28 Olowo Street. And so Satan stood by the market and said, you see those people clapping their hands there? He said, let's go there. I said, I can't follow you. If you go into that place, you will meet that God that is behind your case. It is that God that made your wife barren. That's why none of us in our kingdom can answer. So my father now went to the church. Satan was still standing. My father entered the church. And he told the pastor, straight to the pastor, because he's a strong demonic man. He said, where is your God? And that one said, which God? He said, the God you serve here. He said, the God I serve here. Yeah, it's Jesus. He said, no, I'm not talking about Jesus. I have heard about Jesus Christ, but no. Because some people who say that they are Christians and they are priests, they were coming to him for power. So as far as him is concerned, Jesus is not anything. Because Satan is the one. And the pastor said, it's Jesus. Now you answer the pastor, okay, look at that place. The pastor looked there. Satan was standing. He said, can you not see him? The pastor said, who? He said, that is the devil. He said, so you are blind. My father said, so you are blind. He said, how can Satan tell me to come and follow a blind man? He said, I can see. You can't see. You can't see your God. He said, we don't need to see him. But when he shows up, you will see him. You will see his works, but you cannot see his face. He said, well, okay, I don't know what you are talking. You know, Satan told me that you are the one. Your God is the one who made my wife barren. But I will say, if your God, well, at least when you worship him, any spirit that appear, I can see. Yes. And so that's how my father stayed there. So he went home and told my mother that, well, this is what Satan has done, and we are going to join that cult. It's like a cult to my father. So they came here, they got there, and day after day, they will be preaching, teaching them. My father, when they are praying, he will open his eyes looking for their God in the church, whether he will pass. My father said he will be looking. He said, but this looking he's talking about is not physical look, you know. His face, this is not the church now. That is the new place, the new church. The old church, I will give you the photograph. This is not the church I was born. I was born in this compound, but the image of the church, this is not it. This is the new one we built. But the old one that was built, where this happened. And so my father continued to go to church. And then one day, they gave altar call. My mother came out and gave her life to Christ. And he called my father. My father said, no, I don't know what they are doing there. He believed that if he come like that, all his powers, he will surrender. He wants to accept Jesus' power to the powers that he operates. You know, my father's salvation is a good story for any man to know that God is so merciful. Okay? that was looking at him. So one day after prayer, he went to the pastor and said that, "I can't see your God, but I can see the lame walk, I can see blind heal, but when he comes to do these things, I use all my power, I can't see him." And the pastor smiled. The pastor said that, "Keep coming, you will see him. He will show himself." My father went home and slept. Because God knows that he is innocent, and he is eager to know the source of power, the Lord sent Angel Gabriel that night. Angel Gabriel appeared before him. He was sleeping. Angel said, "Stand up." And he rose up. But when people who are in a court of that height, they don't physically sleep. They are more active in their sleep than when they are physically awake. Because if they are awake, they cannot live in one place. You cannot leave this place now and be in Nigeria or be in America and stuff. But when they sleep, their spirit travel at a speed faster than light. Okay? So, my father decided to hurt the angel. But he said that the word of that angel arrested him. The word arrested him. And he was numb. He became numb. So, some of you might have slept some time ago that you saw something pressing you and you can't move, and you are exactly like that happened to him by the angel. He was numb. And the angel had a rod flaming with fire in his hand. And the angel said to him, "Open your mouth." And he said, my father said, the word of the angel pulled his mouth as apart. So my father has an incantation that when he says, he will remember everything that he had learned in demon world. He said that as he tried to remember, his mind could not. Those incantations wiped off. So now, in occultism, when that happened to you, you now succumb that a greater power is standing. If you don't submit to him, he can destroy you. Because that's the rule of the game in occultism. So, and my father said, the angel now held his tongue like that and pulled out his tongue. He said when his tongue was coming out, all his intestine and stomach to his innards came out. Okay? Then he didn't know biology at the time. It was then he recognized his intestine and innards connected, yes, in biology. Even their process of operation for, eating and hunger and stuff, they are connected from the tongue. And the Bible says it, the life and death is in the power of the tongue. So he said underneath that tongue that he pulled out on his intestine was a small tongue. And that new tongue is so clean like that of a baby, newborn baby. And the angel now took that rod, and he knew that rod was coming for his mouth. So he a terrible fear caught him. Write this in my books. And he now took the fire and pressed on my father's tongue. And the tongue burns. He said the fire went through the whole of his being. That was the purification. So, and the angel said, "Thus saith the living God, you will not curse mankind with your tongue anymore." He said, "I've appointed you as a prophet. You will bless mankind with this tongue." So the evil tongue was taken away. Listen to me, no pastor prayed for him. No deliverance minister touched my father. When Jesus saved you, he saved completely. You see, sometimes when I talk about deliverance, you can know where I'm coming from. If God is so merciful that one encounter saved my father like that, how can I believe that after your salvation, somebody needs to lay his dirty hand, sinful man? You know where I'm coming from? So, then the angel blessed him and left. When the angel left, my father woke up to consciousness. His tongue physically was burning with a mark, physical tongue. He woke my mother up and said to my mother, he said, "Yahweh, Yahweh, I've become a woman." In African language, when you say you become a man, say I become a woman, it means that all my masculine power is gone. My father said, and my mother said, what's happened to you? Already my mother had been taught in discipleship class. She had been praying to Jesus because my mother's father was Rabbi Atri Wijay, the first chief imam of Abulifo. And her name is Kubrat, but also a priestess of Baal. When my mother is possessed as a teenager, she will jump up and float in the sky and sit down comfortably in the sky before she starts to prophesy by Baal. This is the womb that conceived me, not my grandfather or great-grandmother's womb. Now let me see. But when she gave her life to Christ, she's very tender. She became a great prayer warrior. So, then, my father said to my mother, let's go to the pastor. The pastor sent his messenger to take all my powers. And all my powers are gone. I'm now a woman. And so, it's my mother now that led him. Because he had lost all his confidence. Like, you are the one, you are born again or gave your life. So, my father followed my mom. When they got to the gate of the church at about 4 a.m., they opened the gate and they said, Pastor West, Pastor West. The woman pastor came and said, how are you? He just went to the floor. He said, he held the leg of the pastor and said, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Pastor said, forgive you for what? You didn't do anything wrong. He said, please, your messenger had delivered. Your messenger delivered in the midnight. And so he said, please. He's still occultic in his whole mental. That don't deceive me. Just do what you want with me. Please, I surrender. So the pastor noticed that something is not right. He took him, said, sit down. He said, I cannot sit down, sir. He said, just leave me on my knees. Say, please declare that you forgive me. Say, okay, I forgive you. Though I don't know what you want me to forgive, but now sit down. He said, no, he won't sit down. I said, okay, tell me what happened. My father now described the encounter he had. And that pastor said, you, teacher, you of all people, we have been fasting and praying, we didn't see Angel Gabriel. You. That when we are praying in this house, your eyes is like this. You are just looking. You are the one that angel. He said, Angel Gabriel. He said, what is it? And the pastor showed him in the Bible. He said, that is the person I saw. I said, he's Angel Gabriel. He said, please, beg him for me. Beg him for me. So the man said, okay, I will. Sit down. And the pastor now showed him Christ and salvation. And he said, you, we who are saved and we have been praying, singing all this year, we didn't see what you saw. Because God has appointed you. You know what a prophet is? And he showed him the Bible. You must walk in holiness. He said, how can I? I'm a bad man. He said, the spirit that you have received will make you walk in holiness. He said, okay, now I want to accept him. So he accepted Jesus. That is how my father was converted. You know? You see, that is the reason why, of course, when I was growing up as a child, the mystery that surrounds my own birth, I would talk to you in the way. But when I was growing up as a child, my father would take me out of the room and said that you, God spoke before you were conceived. We waited for you for years. And by default, when you have a first child in occultism, that first child belongs to Satan. You don't argue it. Whatever Satan like, you do with it, with him. He says, so now that I have known the true God, and God spoke to me before you were conceived. And he says, so he will commit lives of many to your hands, because he gave me a messenger from him to be my first born child with your mom. And he says, so you must know everything about Satan so that you are not deceived. And he told me everything. By 3 a.m., no, 12, 2 a.m. to 4. Because, you know, in wizardry and witchcraft, anybody here who was a witch, you will agree with me. They go to their meeting at 12, the infants. They call them in my language, agude. Then those who are matured will attend the meeting about 1. They call them agude. But those who are the very wicked, when you call spiritual hosts of wickedness in Ephesians chapter 6, they go to their meeting about 2:30. Because they can stay out of their physical body till 4-5 before they come back. But that good day, if they stay for too long out of their physical body, they call it astral projection or witchcraft, they will not be able to enter their body because they have not reached spiritual height that will educate their body to stay for so long. But they are the ones that stay for so long, they are called agude gude. Now let me tell you this. Whether they are agude, agude, or agude gude, in the name of the Lord, you smash them off. You know, if you give your life to Jesus, you don't know how much you have done for yourself. But this house is here to train God in you. That is talking about the God that lives in you, equipping your human mind to be able to operate in the mind of that God. Because Jesus says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you open for me, I and my Father will come in. From the day you say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. If you can say that today, maybe you are listening to me for the first time. You want to be free from the oppressions of Satan. Maybe you have been so oppressed by nightmares. All what you think good is always sabotaged and destroyed. Maybe in your family, some people have promised you that we will finish you. Come on. There is a person you can run to. His name is a strong tower. The righteous will run into it and they shall be saved. So today, I submit to you as sovereign Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let's stand up together. I want to give you an opportunity to follow me into the journey of salvation. I want to lift up your voice and thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. My King. Thank God for Jesus. The Bible says, God gave him a name that is above all names. Stay where you are. First, I'll tell you to go. Just stay from there and sing. Tell the Lord Jesus how much you love him. How much you love him. If you have not given your life to Jesus, ask Jesus now. Come into my heart. I want to accept you. I surrender my life to you, and that's it. That's it. Lamb of God. If you have not accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior, just go on your knees where you are. And you want to accept Him now. Just do exactly as I'm doing. The Lord is here. He is your Maker. And pray this prayer after me. If you have also accepted Jesus, but you are fighting with worldliness, the things you don't want to do, you see yourself doing those things, and you want to be free today, just go on your knees where you are. Do that and put your hands on your chest, your right hand on your left chest, and say after me, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I ask you to forgive me all my sins. Lord Jesus, I am fed up of the world. Jesus, I ask for your mercy. Father, I thank you for your hand of mercy. Forgive me all my sins. I surrender my heart and I surrender my life. I surrender my mind to you. Come into my life. And if you have been a Christian, but you still struggle with all those things that are holding you back, tell Jesus, I surrender my will to you from today. Father, thank you for saving me. I declare with my mouth, God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And I confess, Jesus, you are my Lord. I surrender my life to your Lordship from this hour. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Now, if you are sick in your body, I extinguish every disease. I stand in Christ in God. Satan, lose all in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. From the lofty hill I see. From the right hand of the Most High I speak. Infirmity, depart in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, God the Holy Spirit, send your fire into everybody. Send your fire into our bodies. Send your fire into our bodies. Send your fire into our mind. Send your fire into our mind. Send your fire into our mind. Send your fire into our heart. Send your fire into our heart. Let everyone be ablaze with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Every planting of Satan be consumed in Jesus' name. The body of man is not meant for iniquity. Spirit of iniquity, the Lord rebuke you. Spirit of righteousness, spring forth in every heart. Spring forth in every soul. Thank you, Father. It is done. You promise, O God, that this year you will send power to your church global and you will send wealth. So, Lord, I speak. Heaven, in line with what the Father has spoken for this season, 2024, 2025, 2026. Receive in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Receive in the name of Jesus Christ. Unction from heaven. Receive in the name of Jesus Christ. Power of the Most High. Receive in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to your soul to give you and receive power in the name of Jesus. Your spirit receive power in the name of Jesus. Your mind receive power in the name of Jesus Christ. And your body carry the power of the Most High God in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak to the body of Christ. Those who have been slain by Satan, be restored in the name of Jesus. Those who have derailed by relationship, be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Worldliness that have crept into the church, that have left some people who intend to go to heaven confused.
and set them on the path of hell. Today, Satan, you lose control. I pray for the church of God or not. Satan, lose control. You have been rebuked concerning the church. Get up your hand in the name of the church. Let revival move in the churches. Let the revival move in the land. An army of people. Dead bones rise up and receive flesh. Receive tenderness upon the bones and flesh upon the tendons. Receive life into the body. The time for the ingathering has come. The time of harvest of this world. Lord Jesus, thank you because you have done it. As we ask in Jesus' name, somebody say amen. I want my wife to come over, please. Hallelujah. This is our first day for convention. Please be seated. Hallelujah. You know, I want your heart to be very thankful to the Lord for what the Lord has done for you today. She's my tactic champion. She doesn't know why I'm calling her. Don't worry. She doesn't have to know. I'm sure that the people in Asetit know why. Those who clean this altar have taken away what I wanted, but I will get it out for us. We want to sing an anthem to the church. Do you know why I do this? After I've departed, all sons and daughters and my grandchildren in this house and great-grandchildren will remember it as a memorial. But I don't think I would die before rapture, because my eyes have seen what is beyond for the church as revealed to me by Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, it will come up now. If you are worshiping with us for the first time, you are very, very welcome to Christ Faith Tabernacle. You got it. I told you that the presentation team, they walk by the Spirit. They know it. Amen. We will get it again. You can see. We want to surrender an anthem to you to start our convention this year. This has been our old anthem. And after that, I will be privileged to welcome everyone worship with us for the first time. And then we will take our offering and do the thanksgiving. You start it. Hold it. Is this working? Now, amen. Increase the volume to my height. Amen. Amen. Just give me, that's not the volume, just your stage monitors, not the main volume, main gain really, just the monitors. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Increase the monitor again. So this is how my pastors have been leading prayer, that you didn't let their voice be heard. All right.
And I don't want feedback, please.
Together for the
Hallelujah.
Living God.
Hallelujah.
At least you understand. Hallelujah.
No.
I thought you also understand. Oh, go for
glory to God.
Hallelujah. Put the English there. Let my people see we are breathing in it. Can you just get the English version? Pastor Ajayi was the engineer. Yes. Everybody who hears that music, we know that it is from the Holy Spirit, isn't it? We are just praising God. We remember this all the time because it talks about our journey of faith. And also it talks about our eternal glory that God has prepared for us. And that's what the lyric is. Yes. Yeah. Pastor is not with them there, so they are struggling to get that. But that is what it is. In the week, we will let you have the lyrics of this music. It tells you about your journey of faith and glorifying God for our journey of faith. It talks about our eternal home that God had prepared for us. And it says that we are not weary to sing the old song. That is the beginning of it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Give me the first verse. Just don't worry. So yeah. We will sing by faith the song, his song of We sing his song aloud. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And then it says the child of God has the right to rejoice. The chorus, please. The children of God have the right to rejoice that we understand his ways as the time go by and by. And then we will sing
And at the end, we will sing. Okay, thank you. So it says, oh, the children of God, of the Lord, have the right to shout and sing. For the way is going bright and bright, and our soul are on the wind. We are going by and by to the place of the King. Glory be to God. The second verse says, we are lost amid the rapture and redeeming love. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We are rising on its pinions to the hill above. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The third verse says, we are going to a palace that is built of gold. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We are the King in all his splendor we shall soon behold. And then, glory be to God, hallelujah. Then it says, there will be shouts, redeeming mercy in a glad new song. There will be singing the peace. There will be singing the peace of Jesus with the blood washed song. Glory be to God, hallelujah. This song was composed by Fanny J. Crosby. She is the original composer of the song. And of course, Crosby was an English songwriter in those days, who also wrote so many songs. The Lord bless you. Put your hands together for the Lord. Thank you for coming to build me out. Yeah, before I hand over, I want to welcome anyone that is worshiping in this house for the first time. If this is your first time of worshiping, could you wave your hands, please? Please, can you rise up where you are? We'd like to welcome you. Please, can you rise up? We'd like to welcome you. Yes. Choir have said, we believe that you have been blessed by the Lord, and thank you for coming. If you have come for the first time and you didn't stand up, please remember, when you are going out of the building, you can go towards the right reception area and collect the pack that we are giving to everyone. You are very, very welcome. Please, you can have your seat. I would like to personally invite every one of us for the convention this year. Can you put the timetable on the screen? Do they have the timetable? Please put the timetable on the screen. Our convention starts tomorrow, and I want every one of us to come and invite our friends. Convention time in Christfield Tabernacle is a time we remind ourselves about our purpose for living. But in this convention, I'll be taking some lectures as well that could bless you. If you are a CEO or a director of any company, you will agree with me that we are living in a convoluted time. And you agree with me that one of the languages spoken in the world of business is VUCA. Things are very vulnerable. Uncertainty has filled everywhere. Nobody knows what will happen. And all these problems coming together give rise to what is called wicked problems. And in these seminars that we are doing today, I'll be dealing with how you can handle wicked problem. I'll be talking about system thinking, how we can, you know, operate by system thinking to solve any complexities or navigate through complexities that, you know, may confront you as a CEO or as a director or as a manager in your office. I'll be talking also about how you can, you know, rewire your system so that you can, you know, face anything. Who knows what Russia will do in June? What about if Russia decides to attack Great Britain in June and things will get disrupted? How can you handle things like that? I'll be teaching on the Church of the Living God. I'll be teaching on the church structure and good governance. I'll be teaching on church conflict and resolutions and church growth and management. And all that is under 21st century leadership. I'll be looking at personal and spiritual development, global trend, and navigating through global complexities. And then the last session of seminars,
I'll be teaching about 21st century leadership and also spiritual development. It's a very good meeting for all to come. What will be amazing to you is that when I dive into these areas of leadership training, you will be amazed that the Bible has answers to all this knowledge that is being given to us, especially in high impact leadership and sustainable leadership. So, and it will be a conference where you can ask questions, which is probably particular to your own practice, and I'll be able to guide you by the grace of God. We are well equipped to do that. And also, the evening rally will just be all spiritual empowerment. It will be spiritual empowerment in the evening right through. You might have been a Christian and you've been having a problem in operating in the power of the Most High. During evening, that is just the focus. We'll go from one unction to another. You know, I will deal with, you know, areas of calling and clarify, you know, issues about that. What you can do to be able to operate in God's power as a Christian, I will be sharing with you, and you will see manifestation immediately. You will receive unction and be able to function. The days of Satan is over. Can I just say for 34 years now, it'll be 34 years this week, we have been having this conference in this church. We do not take offering in our seminars. Neither do we pay registration fee. It's not necessary. I have a guest minister who I invite every year, and he does not charge us, and his name is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said on his behalf, freely you receive, freely give. You know, if I received from God freely knowledge and intuition and application of knowledge, why should I charge you for it? If you came to me as an arbitrator, I will charge you for as an arbitrator. If you came as a mediator, I'm a qualified arbitrator, a chartered arbitrator, and a mediator, I will charge you for those. That is the office of that. If you come to me about, you know, counsel, you don't pay any penny. Because this is all for the church, so that the church of God can grow. And in this church, we also have seminars for business seminars. We have various seminars that will help grow, you know, in your academics, in your business, you know, and many opportunities that can help you. Those of you who are looking for a job, how we can help you get into all those stuff. We have those training in this church. This church is about spirit, soul, and body development, not just about your spiritual, but also your careers and your family and all stuff. So this week will be a great one. And I think I can tell you that we have two of our ministers. One of them is in Birmingham now, Pastor Billy and Pastor Claudette. They are ministering in Birmingham because they are the one God used to pioneer Birmingham Church. And they have now moved to Cote d'Ivoire to continue the work. And also we have with us today, Pastor Dapo. He is the oversight of all our churches in Africa. Pastor Dapo, please stand up. Pastor Dapo is one of the senior ministers in Christ with Tabernacle Church, and he oversees all our works in Africa, you know, all the nations in Africa, when I do missions and church planting and things like that. And we are so grateful we have him with us. I believe his wife will join us before the end of this conference. But we also are expecting our delegates arriving from today. I will leave that for the announcer. Now, can I invite Pastor Dapo to come and take our offering for today, our tithes and offerings. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Happy 34th anniversary, Christ Free Tabernacle. It's time for tithes and offering. Amen. I'm going to take my reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll read from verse 6. The Bible says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Amen. God has spoken over this house. For this year, we will abound in power and in wealth. So as you prepare your offering this morning, let that go through your heart as you give cheerfully unto the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we have the choir. Thank you.
Amen.
Can we rise up, please?
Shall we rise up for offering?
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Shall we pray? What is impossible, the Lord will make possible for you. In the name of Jesus. Father, these are the holy offering of your holy people, brought before the holy God. We ask that your holy fire will descend from heaven, and we consume this holy sacrifice. Lord, as your children have spoken to your hearing today, let it be what you will do in their lives. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare that in this convention, the heavens shall be opened. Your glory will descend. People will return home blessed every day of this week. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you'd be glad to know that Apostle has helped out with about half of my announcements, so I'm only going to take 30 minutes. Hallelujah. Our God is good. And all the time. Well, can I ask, just to remind those of us that have picked the envelopes, if you used offering envelopes for your giving, please note that on your way out, remember to drop it off into the ark on your way out of the auditorium after the service. And the Lord bless you richly as you do that. Of course, we encourage everyone for ease of administration to adopt giving online. But we do know some people are still very, very insistent on bringing in person. The Lord honors all. Praise the Lord. I'm just adding a few things. 31st anniversary convention, Apostle has announced, starts tomorrow with the evening session. Please note that the program includes a registration period for the daytime tomorrow. It's primarily for the residential delegates who are arriving. So the first main meeting we'll all be having would be taking place in the evening for the evening rally. And of course, all through the week, for those daytime daytime sessions start at 9:30 a.m. each day. Daytime sessions start at 9:30 a.m. each day. That's because 9:30 to 10 a.m. will be the prayer session. Don't plan to arrive at 10 because you would have missed the prayer session. And it's important you're part of the prayer session to get the full benefit of what God has in store for us all through the week. I'd also like to remind us on the subject of daytime sessions, please note as well that there are very, very limited free car parking spaces or free car parking areas around the cathedral. We have been announcing repeatedly, and I hope no one here has gotten caught out today. If you paid for 3 hours and you paid at 9 a.m., by this time at 12:48, you probably have already incurred a ticket if you parked at the Travelodge and you've not extended it. Please avoid parking or using the Travelodge car parking facilities if you can. We recognize that because of the limited parking around the vicinity, you might want to use that. But please download the app. Do not allow yourself to get caught out. As far as we can tell, they are trying to extract as much as they can for even minor infractions, very, very minor ones, including a minute overtime. So please note that. It is important that we are mindful, and it is not that after all these announcements, if you carry on doing that, it is not the devourer, it's because you have refused to listen. Praise the Lord. Please note as well that next week Sunday will be a special Thanksgiving here at the cathedral. And it means for all of us, when we come for special Thanksgiving, when we come for our Shiloh, we know that we'll come and honor God with our giving as well. So there will be an opportunity for us to have a special Thanksgiving for our Founders Day, for this convention, for our fight. I mean, it's one of, it's in fact the biggest for us. Because if we were not born or created, we would not have all the other ceremonies. So we come together next week Sunday. Get your dancing shoes ready. If you've not dry cleaned those clothes, make sure it's all. It's not just Sunday best. It's Sunday best. Praise the Lord. And the choir are ready to ensure that all through next week Sunday is going to be celebration time. Talking about next week Sunday and organization and logistics throughout this week, can I implore everyone please to take directions, strict directions from the ushers about seating arrangements. It is important at times like this that you might have a favorite seat. But please note that that favorite seat, if you come on time and it's available, fine. If you don't come on time, you don't insist, oh, I must sit. And you take directions, please, from the ushers. A few people we have observed are insistent on doing certain things and they would disregard some instructions. Apostle has already said we should give him the name so that he can read the names from here. We've been resisting that. So it would not be nice for your name to appear here. And then Apostle would say, oh, by the way, such and such and such a person, what happened today? I'm sure we all understand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, my technology has gone, so I'm trying to get it back on. Finally, two things. Lost and found, if you misplace your bunch of keys, there's a massive bunch of keys that have been found. The way I see the keys, you will not be able to get into your car. You won't be able to get into your home. You probably will not be able to get into your office. In fact, I need to ask myself the size of the keys. I wonder what you do. But if you've misplaced it, if you've misplaced this bunch of keys, it is at the reception waiting for you. It's a massive one. And by the way, if you use that to start your car, you might be damaging your lock or the car keys. It might just be too heavy. Just that you know. Praise the Lord. I have a few thank you cards here, so permit me as I read through them very quickly. The first one says, thanks very much. Our dear daddy, mommy, pastors, elders, deacons, deaconesses, and members, it is appreciated a lot. We are overwhelmed by the gratitude or with the gratitude for the love and support you've shown to us during our wedding. Your prayers, presence as we embark on our marital journey. I'll take that again. Your prayers, presence, and gifts during this period have been a huge blessing for us. As we embark on our marital journey, we are truly blessed to have all of your support. May God continue to bless each one of you abundantly. And thank you once again from Mr. Emmanuel and Mrs. Siware Olaoye. That's a couple that got married last week. So they're probably having some time on the honeymoon at the moment. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Dear Daddy, Mommy, Pastors, Elders, Deacons, Deaconesses, and Members, I want to extend my deepest thanks for your unwavering support during my daughter's wedding. I cannot appreciate everyone enough for all the gifts, love, prayers, and support we received during this period. We're so blessed to be part of this family. May God's grace and abundant blessings continue to abound in all your lives, and may we have many more occasions to celebrate one another. In Jesus' name. Amen. Deaconess Rachel, another thank you card. It's lovely to give thanks, you know. To mommy, daddy, pastors, deacons, deaconesses, the whole congregation, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you all for celebrating with me on my birthday. May the Lord continue to bless you all with good health, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and may all your wishes come true. From Sister Lola Paul. And finally, our warmest thank you from the Egoku and Ebonyi family to Apostle Alfred T.B. Williams and Reverend P. Omar Williams, the pastors, the elders, the deacons, deaconesses, Tabernacle women, admin team, media team, protocol, ushers, and all members of Christ Faith Tabernacle who supported us in celebrating the life of Brother Ben Osgood Egbeku and giving him a befitting farewell to the glory of God on the 19th and the 21st of February 2024. Our sincere gratitude for all your support and prayers, signed by all members of the family. Thank you very, very much for your support as a church and unwavering support for these various celebrations. And finally, today's Thanksgiving Sunday. Yes? If you're visiting us for the first time and you've come for Thanksgiving, please know that after the service, you'll have the opportunity to come to the front after the grace to take photographs with those who you've come in to celebrate with. But during the Thanksgiving, please, 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 the protocol and the ushers will be preventing any entries into the front from the sides. We would all those who are joining and celebrating, you come down through the middle aisle so that we have enough space to spread everyone around. So often, so many people come in through the sides, and then we get very, very crowded up. So today, the protocol and the ushers have been requested to stop you politely from doing that. But I know, because I've announced it, you won't even give them any work to do, because we're all very, very obedient. And the Lord bless you richly as I welcome Apostle, sir. Yes? They wouldn't have any job to do because you've all heard me say it. So why would you give them anything to do? They won't stop you because you won't come down this... Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just welcome our Father and the Lord, Apostle A.T.B. Williams, to conduct our Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Dr. Tayo, for your exegesis. I think I will send the professional fee of this advice, or what we call it now, from Dr. Tayo. Now, shall we rise up for a Thanksgiving, please? This is an annual event in CFT. People who are born in a particular month, at the last Sunday of the month, we come together. And people who have various Thanksgiving, so that one meeting will take care of everything. So please go forward and you will be arranged as you go. We have 70th birthday, Sister Grace Echo, and Brother Rotimi Ajimaton Rareje. Then 50th birthday for Sister Adenike Igbenovia. And then baby dedication, Sola Michael Adesonya. And celebration of life for Brother Ben Egbeku with the wife and children and family. And so let's just come together to the altar, dancing and blessing the name of the Lord.
Ebenezer. Ebenezer.
Wow. Okay, keep on singing because they are still coming. Sing for them. Yeah, sing another song.
Who is greater than Jehovah, Lord of all?
You know, why do we do Thanksgiving in Christ's Faith Tabernacle? Especially, and why did we choose one day of our service for all to come? For the second question, if we don't choose one day, we'll be doing Thanksgiving service every day. Because in this house, God does wonders. Every week there's testimonies. But we do that so that we can set our heart to a particular day, which is the last Sunday of the month, to come in and thank God. Well, the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 17, when Jesus met 10 lepers and he healed them all. And then, strange enough, in verse 17, let me read from verse 15. It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, verse 15, came back praising God. In a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9 who were Jews? Was no one found to return and give praise unto God or give thanks to God? Except this foreigner. And then he said to him, rise up, go. Your faith has healed you, or your faith had made you well. And the other translation says, you are made whole. The book of Psalm 91 says, teach me, O God, to number my days aright, that I may set my heart a path of knowledge. So to come and thank God for the month you were born, to celebrate with those who have reasons to thank God, to come and thank God for the day you wedded, or you brought a child for dedication, and also to thank God for your departed ones, it's a very necessary thing. It's a good thing to do before the Lord. It is not regulation, but it is appreciation.
because it's God who had done all this for you. But the dead in Christ, we celebrate them because we certainly see them. We don't mourn those who are dead, not here. If anybody dies at any age, we celebrate them. They have just gone into glory and in the peace with God. And they are worth celebrating, not worth mourning. And also, of course, I said that when we do that, that instructs those who are alive. Are you living right with God? Or are you living according to your human mind? So that if you are living in your human mind and you think you still have many years to grow old, you may not. A believer should live and die daily, ready to go every second. And the Bible says that that's what she set her heart upon. But if God's grace is so gracious and it allows us to be in this place, that I don't see much reason why we should be here, this earth, because of all the evil that is happening, we will live every day of our life obeying Christ only. And for those who are thanking God for what God has done for them, if God can do this for them, He will do it for us also. No matter what your situation in life is, whatever you sow is what you reap. So if you sow support and thanksgiving for those who already God had done those things for, then your time of harvest will come from God, who has seen your rejoicing over what He did for your brethren. And so that is why in this church we do this. And I will pray with everyone now. But for the person who is 50 years, in the book of Leviticus 25, it says, count 9 by 9 years, which is the 49th year, and says, on the 50th year, blow the trumpet around your territory. It shall be jubilee for you. But something about jubilee, it says, consecrate. Consecrate means rededicate. It means abstinence from sin. Consecrate yourself, it shall be jubilee for you. But there's a promise God made, or promises God made for jubilee, that it will restore fortunes. So we need to know our obligation when we reach our birthday. It's another year of consecrating ourselves. Those who are 70, they look like they are in their 50s. That is one of the advantages in Christ the Tabernacle will enjoy. Our old people don't look old, by the way, except if you look at their neck. That is the only place that I think our anointing has not covered. But if you look at their face, they look very good. You know, why do we look fresh? Because we just obey the word of God. There is no reason why you should create problem in your marriage that God has freely given you to enjoy. So in their marriages, no problem. If you are alone, there's no reason why you should create problem for yourself. If you enjoy God and you serve God and you live the life of God, you will live long and look fresh and green. It was in the olden days when people are 50, they are working with walking stick. Even if walking stick didn't come to their hand, you will see them the way they work. They say, don't you know I'm an old woman at 50? Hallelujah. But you see, in CFT, we have women of 80 in their 80s, and they are still running and still doing, jumping off all over the whole place. So we thank God for the 70th birthday. Sister Grace and Brother wrote to me. I will thank God for Sister Adenike. And we also thank God for the baby that is being dedicated. This baby is a reminder for us of where we hail from. And we thank God for Brother Ben's family. And I will say to you, Brother Ben's family, which I was not able to say in the two services, that the instruction your father gave you must be binding to all of you before his departure. The man said, from today, all of us must make sure we attend TFT. And his intention when he left you was, I'm coming back and I'll take you all there. Really, it was on the burial day, one of the deacons told me, your father brought him to this house. How many years ago, Deacon Sorrow? Over 20 years ago. So your father, though he may not be here, but he has a seed. And who knows other people that he brought into the church? And you know that this is a non-compromising church. It's a church of greatness and success. And nothing is impossible with God, with us. So the Lord will grant you the grace. I start from you, Lord. Thank you for your daughter and your sons and the daughter of this house. Thank you for the family members and friends who have stood by them throughout this season of the departure of your son. And we thank you that even in his death, his voice speaks. And that which he spoke last has become a legacy for the whole family. May grace and mercy of God be with you.
Amen.
Everything God has written concerning you shall be fulfilled.
Amen.
May the Lord remember you today. And the others who also who are in this congregation, whose months have passed on like Brother Ben. The God who has been with you from beginning, he will continue to be with you throughout.
Amen.
He will support you.
Amen.
He will encourage you.
Amen.
He will establish you.
Amen.
He will bring you to fulfillment.
Amen.
In the mandate of heaven.
Amen.
And peace be upon this family.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your daughter. She's 50. My God, anoint her in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All that heaven has written concerning you shall be fulfilled over you.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. I speak concerning Jubilee. The voice of jubilation will not cease in your camp.
Amen.
The Lord, the God whom you serve and you have committed yourself to, he will sustain you in power and righteousness.
Amen.
He will fulfill all what he has written concerning you for life and for godliness, and yours will be a delightful land. Lord, yes, I anoint this family in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You receive unction from heaven to fulfill all mandates. Lord, this is a new arrival from heaven, the latest among us. Lord, if this child is allowed to have all the senses updated like we are, she will have told us many things about heaven because she still has memory of that. Yes. But she cannot utter them. Because the Bible says the angel of the children look to the face of the Father. And so, Lord, I speak to this child and her future. When you grow to the age of understanding, you will choose the path of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Anoint you, therefore, in the name of the Father,
Amen.
And the Son,
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The word of God will prosper in your life.
Amen.
Because Satan is making life complicated more than our own time. By the time you grow up, if Jesus doesn't come, the world will be more complicated. But in the midst of darkness, the light will shine.
Amen.
You are among the light that will shine.
Amen.
The mandate of heaven concerning your destiny shall be fulfilled.
Amen.
No power will be able to tamper with you in any way, shape, or form. May the Lord engrace your parents and grant them all they need to raise you up according to the will of the Father. We dedicate you unto the Lord in the name of the Father,
Amen.
And the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for this, your son, who is 70. My God and my King, the age of 70 is a transition age. And so as your son transits, now in his 70s, may the unction of heaven rest upon you.
Amen.
Anoint you in the name of the Father,
Amen.
And Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is the season of rest for you, that you will enjoy the labor of your hand.
Amen.
So I speak to your human body, your mortal body, and your wife. The Lord strengthen your mortal body.
Amen.
As you age, the Lord refresh your bones.
Amen.
The Lord refresh your muscles and tendons.
Amen.
All the organs of your body.
Amen.
The strength that God gave to Moses, that is at the age of 80, God called him. And Moses was still very healthy. And he also gave him grace. Because God called him in his late age, he gave him another 40 years. So I speak in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That the Lord refresh you.
Amen.
Your mind will be sound.
Amen.
Your speech be eloquent.
Amen.
The blood that passes through your body be healed.
Amen.
And the Lord grant you more grace.
Amen.
So that all the days of your life, you will live for the Lord your God.
Amen.
And everything written concerning you shall be fulfilled.
Amen.
I say if there be any hindrance, today they are taken away.
Amen.
By the decree of heaven, I say, be refreshed.
Amen.
The hope you have will be realized.
Amen.
and all your labor for 70 years, in 1 year, God will restore them. Amen. You will enter into harvest. Amen. Father, Lord, I anoint your daughter. She's 72. As I spoke to your son, I speak to her. May the Lord lengthen your days both.
Amen.
May the Lord refresh your body.
Amen.
May the Lord grant you strength.
Amen.
In proportion to his will for you.
Amen.
The destiny that God has written concerning you, even for this age, shall be fulfilled.
Amen.
May the Lord heal your bones and marrow.
Amen.
And give strength to the nerves of your body.
Amen.
As you grow older, may you grow stronger.
Amen.
As a tree, you know, blossom. In springtime, I call for your springtime.
Amen.
And your son will never wane.
Amen.
May the Lord fulfill the desires of your heart.
Amen.
And give you harvest for all your years of labor.
Amen.
With long life, he will satisfy you all.
Amen.
He will show you his salvation. Amen. I pray for everyone standing with them. The mercy of the Father reach out to you.
Amen.
May the mercy of the Father reach out to you.
Amen.
For everyone under this roof, may the mercy of the Father reach out to you.
Amen.
When he passed before Moses in Exodus 34, he said, I'm God, the mighty God, almighty God. He says, I am the God full of mercy. He said, I will cause my mercy to pass through you. And he went and began to proclaim, I'm full of mercy. I'm full of honor. I'm full of glory.
Amen.
And Moses saw just a little bit, and he went in the strength of that to his time of death. May the mercy of God extend to everyone in this place.
Amen.
I thank God for those of you who are born in February. May the joy of heaven on the day that God sent you fill the whole of your life.
Amen.
May your life be void of sadness or sorrow.
Amen.
All the days of your life in God. May you never yield to the pressures of this world.
Amen.
May you never yield to the deception of Satan.
Amen.
May you stand in Christ in God all the days of your life and enjoy the promised benefits of God.
Amen.
For obedience to God.
Amen.
May peace of heaven rest upon you.
Amen.
I frustrate every plan of the devil.
Amen.
In your life, they fail in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we lift them up before you, believing you that whatever we give to you, you have the power to keep to the last days. The Lord keep you.
Amen.
And this time to the end.
Amen.
This is the holy offering that is brought by your holy people. Let your holy fire come down from heaven and consume this holy sacrifice.
Amen.
In Jesus' holy and anointed name we are praying.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Sing and let's rejoice.
You are the reason why I lift my hands.
Paparazzi with pinhole cameras. Let me say that when we finish, don't go, because you have professional photographers who will be taking photographs of all your friends, and you can now stay behind and take photographs with them. Can I just say that as we close, go in peace. And let me say also that tomorrow, don't come late. When is our service starting tomorrow? Pardon me? No, not 9:30. Our service tomorrow is what? Good. It's 7. Tomorrow day, we left. It is for registration for candidates who are coming and all stuff like that. And then we go to our seminar from Tuesday, and that is 9:30. And I'm sure you're all geared for it. Can I say that this convention is different? We have, at the time I asked, over 250 candidates have registered for the School of Ministries, which is the day seminar. So, and of course too, we thank God for Deacon Kobe from New York, United States, and brother, what's his name again? He came with brother David. Yes, so he has just arrived and come straight into the service. Well, you are very welcome and blessed. And the Lord has great things for us during this week. Shall we put our hands together as we read the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is thy kingdom, thy power and thy glory, forever and ever. Arise unto heaven as we share the grace in Hebrews 13:20-21. Now, may the God of peace, have brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And look at someone and read the general grace, 2 Corinthians 13:14. To that person, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now. Psalm 23 verse 6 to yourself. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And I declare unto your life, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May God send you help from his sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May the Lord God give you all the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when we are victorious, and we lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, may he open a book of remembrance concerning you. And may the God of Bethel, who appeared unto Abraham and Jacob at Bethel, may he transform your dream land into the land of revelations and encounters with him. In Jesus' holy name we are praying. Amen. There shall be showers of blessing. It will fall in your house.
according to your confession. Can I ask that all the media team should wait?